the small northern European country of Denmark has been voted the happiest country in the world in almost every year since 1973. And parents all over the world want to raise happy, well-adjusted children in a stress-free way. Our next guest suggests that the Danes might know something that the rest of us do not. And we welcome her to the program. Jessica Alexander is the co-author of The Danish Way of Parenting. She is an American author and cultural researcher who lives with her Danish husband and two kids in both Europe and the U.S. She's with us now. Jessica, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You were born in America, right? But you've lived abroad for several years.
Yes, I was raised, born and raised, yes.
As an American, did you have a different approach in your mind to raising kids when you moved abroad with your Danish husband?
Yes, I think I had a completely different approach in mind. And it was through my relationship with my Danish husband and my Danish family and my experiences in Denmark that slowly, even before I had kids, made me start questioning how I had been raised and the American way of parenting. I think that what we don't realize sometimes as parents is that we often question who we are as parents, but we never question how our culture affects what we think is the right way and whether that could be changed. And I was very inspired to find out that the Danish happiness reports and how they've been constantly voted the happiest people in the world, that there must be something in this Danish model that's really working.
Well, when you started your family and you began to sort of parent from the perspective of the ingrained habits we all have and thoughts we have in our own culture of raising kids, was there a point where you came into any conflict with your husband, raised in a different culture, when it came to approaching parenting?
Yes, so these were some of the debates we had, often like about disciplining, for example, because I came from a more strict family. And I think in America, there's in a lot of families a tendency to use more fear-based approach. And in Denmark, it's an extremely democratic approach. So this is actually one of the chapters we talk called No Ultimatums Parenting. And they don't immediately go into these power struggles. So we had talked about it a lot and debated it a lot. But I think also I was very inspired because all the years I've been in Denmark, I've been extremely blown away by how well-behaved, serene, and happy kids are. They are something out of, I don't know, a storybook. And so what I began to realize was, although this way was very different than what I had had in mind, it was clearly working with the kids because they were responding to it.
Let's talk about an example there, because I think most American parents, anyway, have that idea of the ultimatum parenting, you know, the very least saying if you don't do this, then no TV, or, you know, to set up a consequence to say one of these power plays really that you have with your kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How do you not do that? Because ultimately, you know, there are only so many tools.
This is what's so interesting when you take it from a cultural standpoint is because so that language we use, those ultimatums, so much of that is just coming from our culture. So we have kind of an I win culture, and that is also affected in our parenting. And so much of what we say, we're just saying because our parents said it to us. We don't get any training in parenting, so we're sort of repeating often what we hear and without questioning it. But what happens with this I win, you lose approach is that it's often the parents lose because you lose closeness with your kids when they're afraid of you. You lose respect because often we can't follow through with these threats. And then the kids don't know if the boundaries are really exist for real. And we lose perspective because we get caught up in these little battles rather than the war of sort of what are our big family values. So Danes, they by avoiding this, and I think by fundamentally they see children as good and not they don't go directly into like labeling them and punishing them. Instead, they try to avoid problems, which is like a whole mind shift. Spanking is illegal in Denmark. It's been illegal for more than 20 years, which is quite interesting. And what we find is that kids respond to being respected. So let me give you another example in the language. In English, we call the toddler years the terrible twos. In Denmark, they call the toddler years trods alder, which means the boundary-pushing age. And so instead of seeing that age as terrible, they see it as healthy, and they welcome it, and they see the kids pushing boundaries as something completely natural. And again, the way you choose to see a child directly affects the way you treat them. So sometimes just really this mind shift has a huge knock-on effect.
Okay, so let's set up a scenario wherein, let's say you're in the supermarket in Denmark, and you see one of those kids that's pushing boundaries, maybe having a meltdown in aisle number 5, you know, just throwing themselves on the floor or something like that. What's the approach that the Danish way of parenting would take in trying to deal with that?
Well, first of all, I would say that you see this a lot less in Denmark. This is what is so, what really struck me. You see that meltdown, so you almost never see it. You see it a lot more frequently here. You also don't hear yelling. So I think because they've already started this at a very young age, this whole teach respect, be respectful, and you will be respected, you just automatically get less of these meltdowns. But Danes, they try very hard to explain the rules, even to babies. They're very empathic, so they teach empathy in schools, already in preschool, so they're very much trying to understand their children's emotions and make them feel heard. So if a kid's having a meltdown, first of all, the Dane will try to acknowledge their emotion. So like, you're mad. I can see you're mad. And this may sound silly, but you would be amazed how responsive little kids are to feeling like their emotion is being heard. You know, because when they're really little, they don't have the skills to self-regulate their emotions. And I'm not saying that it's a foolproof, like, rule book that it works every time, but this is more of a philosophy that if you implement it, you see huge results from being more of like this lighthouse as a parent rather than, you know, basing it on sort of fear and threats.
We're talking with Jessica Alexander. She's the co-author of The Danish Way of Parenting. One of the approaches that you cover in this book that might be counterintuitive, similar to the no ultimatum approach, is you suggest playtime is as important, if not more important, than learning time. Of course, we have these other cultures with very strict approaches toward education and work and building a work ethic and almost a fear of if you don't get a high mark that you're underperforming. You say the Danish way of parenting is opposite of that. Playtime is as important.
Yes, yes. So since 1871 in Denmark, play has been considered an educational theory. So they see it as the most important thing a child can do up until, you know, they start school, basically, and then even in school it's important. But they don't believe in over-programming their kids' lives because they fundamentally believe that children learn so much from playing. And in America, we're starting to hear this more and more and more, that play is important for kids. All the research is showing what it's teaching our kids, things like empathy, coping skills, it reduces anxiety. And yet, I think the reason that we haven't implemented it more is because we can't measure it. And, you know, here in this country, we really like to measure things to prove that it's working. But what I would point out from the book is to say, here we have a country that for 40 years in a row is voted as the happiest people in the world, who implements a lot of free play. And I think that that is very compelling evidence that letting our kids play more is really working and improving their well-being.
And our play here is often very regulated itself. And I wonder if that gets into a philosophy of what kids are exposed to and what we consider the safe areas for them. Are American kids, in your estimation, more sheltered than what you see in Denmark?
Yes, definitely. But I think that also comes from this idea that we kind of feel that we have to also program their lives all the time. I think we pressure each other as parents here and as a society that we feel guilty if we're not, you know, constantly having them enrolled in something. And I think that's something that would be great if we could get out of and start supporting each other in the fact that letting your kids play and stepping back and letting them also handle some of their own problems is not lazy. It is the educated choice. And that would be the greatest mind shift, I think, if we could get into, because we used to have a lot more free play in America. It's just this idea of more and more courses, more and more competition has sort of taken over that playtime that kids used to have.
Also, there is the entire structure of what kids experience at school. So there are a lot of the things that you're talking about that we take from our personal approach that are reinforced when you go into the system of public school or even private school. Are Danish schools different from other countries, not just the U.S., but around the world?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And one of the things that has really resonated, I mean, this book has been picked up by like 19 countries now, so it's had a really positive effect. One of the big differences, and this is something I also really hope gets picked up here, they actively teach empathy in schools, and they start this already in preschool. They have national programs in place where kids are shown pictures of other kids' emotions, and they have to talk about them and describe why they might feel that way and how they can help. So in the Danish education, they see teaching empathy as important as math or English. It's just a part of their curriculum. And by seeing it as something important to learn, it makes you grow up to be a much more empathic person. Danes are very empathic, and it's a huge reason why they're so happy. And we're talking about that also a lot in the States now, the importance of empathy. But whereas in the past, I think we just thought, oh, yeah, I'm empathic. I don't think we realized you have to train empathy. And you can do it as an adult, and you can do it as kids. So I think by just something as that simple as implementing more empathy training in school, we would also see a huge knock-on effect with happiness. But we can do it as parents as well.
Well, I wonder also if that is reflective of other things we see in our approach of, we talked about structure for kids, but there's also kind of a sheltering thing that came about in concerns of children's self-esteem. You know, in the 70s, mm-hmm, we talked a lot about mm-hmm, self-esteem mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in the American educational system. And the Danish approach you talk about in this book, it almost is counterintuitive towards the self-esteem movement, because there is a bluntness in the approach towards kids. There's an attempt to, you know, really keep them away from things that might be scary or things that might be intimidating. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Well, let me say one thing about self-esteem. So in Denmark, in the Danish parenting model, there is a clear difference for them between what self-esteem is and what self-confidence is. So self-esteem is how you feel in the world, just who you are, how you feel just existing. Self-confidence is how you feel about saying, I can do this, and I'm capable of this, and this is what I, you know, these are the grades that I get, and et cetera. And I think in America, we're very good at building up children's self-confidence. And maybe because we don't allow play enough, we don't allow kids to just feel good without performing, we're less focused on building the self-esteem. And that's a big difference they differentiate between in Denmark, which I think is really interesting. But in terms of what you were saying about the scary, sad endings, Danes are very honest with their kids. They're very direct with their kids. There's no taboo subject. In an age-appropriate way, they talk about everything. They think kids should be prepared for life in its entirety. Stories don't always have happy endings, which was shocking for me at first because they're, you know, some of them are really sad. But all the research we did shows that kids become more resilient from this. They become more empathic. It's just a much more honest approach that doesn't focus on overpraising as well.
So all the fairy tales that were Disneyfied with a happy ending in the folk tradition in Denmark, they just leave all the horrible stuff in there, huh?
Yeah. So let me give you an example. So The Little Mermaid, everybody thinks that Ariel, she gets the prince, she lives happily ever after. But the Little Mermaid is actually a Danish fairy tale. And in the real Little Mermaid, the mermaid dies of sadness because she doesn't get the prince, and she turns into seafoam. So I read both versions to my daughter, and interestingly, she really prefers the sad version because it opened up so many more questions. It was very connecting. And so I don't know why, actually, in our culture, we started to think that it was only okay to show happy endings, because kids, they can handle it. They learn so much from it. Sometimes I think it's us as adults that have more difficulties dealing with talking about harder emotions. It's not the kids. So that's an interesting difference. I think if we got more comfortable with that, it's actually preparing our kids for life.
Well, I think you've just blown some minds about The Little Mermaid out there in the listening audience.
That wasn't Disney,
Jessica.
They didn't want to make that one.
Jessica Alexander is the co-author of The Danish Way of Parenting. She's been talking about the book and The Danish Way of Parenting itself with us this morning. Jessica, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC.